And it is always there when we need it. Always available to us. And we're thankful for it. In our first sermon in a series on facing and overcoming life's challenges, we come up close and personal with two that are really real. A little girl is scared to death about blood being sucked out. It's a real fear, particularly at Halloween. It's a real fear. It exists. It's real. Fears are real. So what do we fear in life? There are a lot of things we fear, if we're honest with each other. We don't like to fail. Sometimes we won't attempt something because we're afraid we will what? Fail. We don't want to fail. Sometimes we're afraid of the unknown. We face that all the time. And at different points in our life, there have been different things that have not been known to us, and we're facing that darkness, and we sure would like to have a lamp or a light or a wand that would show the way. But we have it. It's in our Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to call upon him. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's death. We know about these things. They're a part of life. They're real. And they happen to all of us. Sometimes it's risk. We don't want to take a risk. What's the biggest risk we will ever take? Right here. Jesus risked everything for us, that we would not need to fear or be discouraged. You see, our sins are forgiven. Death has no hold on us. We have the promise of being with God in his presence forever. But we have to trust him. We have to change our focus away from ourselves, which is so hard to do, and allow Christ to live within us. It's so easy to be self-absorbed. But you know, when we're afraid, rather than running from God, what should we do? Run toward him. Run toward God. And this is something that we find in the Psalms. I'm using a different translation this morning. This is from the New Living Translation. But I want to share with you a few verses from Psalm 27. And so if you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Psalm 27, we'll look at verses 1 through 5 and then verses 13 and 14. What we find here are some assurances from God of why we do not need to fear when we are tempted to fear. It begins with this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? Light. God shines light in our darknesses. We have the promise of salvation through his son Jesus. The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? God is there. God has our back. God is always there. But sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes our heads, our minds, our hearts are somewhere else. They're not on God. Something else has control over us.
When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. My heart will not be afraid. In Hebrew thought, the heart is the center of who you are. David talks about, Lord, create in me a new heart. All of us, we've mentioned this before, all of us need heart surgery. Every one of us. What's in our heart? Though an army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. Jesus said, I have come to prepare a place for us, and we as Christians believe that when we die, we do not die. We just pass from this world, what? To the next, to his presence. So we do live in the house of the Lord, do we not? Yes, we do. We do. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. In other words, God does deliver us. But it's on God's time, not our time. Then move down to verses 13 and 14. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. God is good. Unbelievers will tell you that God is not good, that God's a bully. That in fact, what you have is cosmic child abuse because he killed his own son. Now, how crazy is that? That was the greatest gift of love. I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Now the hard part. Here's the catch. You're saying, oh, this sounds good, but there's a catch. Here it is. Wait patiently for the Lord. Wait patiently for the Lord. Why is that the catch? We want it when? Now. Now. Get me out of this now. Yesterday would have been fine, but now. I wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. You see, that the psalmist knew that God is there. God is always there. God has our backs. God is for us. But we have to be willing to accept him. We have to trust him. We have to be brave, patient, and courageous. But sometimes we don't have that fear. We're afraid. You see, fear takes our mind off of God. Fear takes our mind off of Jesus. Fear takes our mind off the presence of the Holy Spirit. Fear enables us to focus on the darkness and not the light that shines within the world. The light will always triumph over darkness. So, why do we fear? Wait patiently upon the Lord. We also experience discouragement. Anybody ever get frustrated? Yeah. Anybody ever fail at something? Now I'm going to ask a real personal question. Anybody here ever get tired? Real tired? So tired that when you get up, your bones creak? Now that's something that I used to not feel. I feel it now. If I sit down for a while, I feel like I'm a fossilized tree. And I try to get up, and I have to walk it off.
And I'm thinking, what is this?
Age. Age. But you know, we don't have to be discouraged. Too often we're discouraged because we're not going to be patient and we're still children. Children, when they want something, when do they want it? Now, how many times are they going to ask? How often are they going to ask? We can talk about them right now. They're not. No, but they're beautiful. We love them. Persistence. We need some of that, don't we? We need some of that. May we have that kind of relationship with God and never, ever give up and keep on asking and praising the Lord. You see, things don't always turn out the way we want them to. Sometimes there are things that happen that we'd planned on, but then do you ever get surprised by the unexpected? Yeah. Like you get in the car and it don't start. You know, and you got to be somewhere. You're already late. You know, those kind of things. They happen all the time. We have to trust the Lord that He will see us through whatever we are facing. Now, Paul helps us with this. And I've discovered, I'm going to give everybody a little homework assignment. I'm going to let the teacher come back out at me just a little bit. this week, spend some time in 2 Corinthians. In particular, chapter 4. It's a chapter that I hadn't read in a while. In the last 6 weeks or so, I've been reading it a lot. And it's the message in it is very powerful. And it reminds us of what's important in life. And we're going to come back to this chapter at another time, in another sermon. But for today, Paul shares with us some very encouraging words, very important words, in chapter 4, starting in verse 8. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's look at verses 8 through 10. Now, as I read this, may each one of us put ourselves in the equation and think about our own lives that we're living right now. Think about what's real in real time in each one of our lives, because we're all dealing with something, every one of us. Here's what Paul says. We are pressed on every side by troubles. That sound familiar? We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. You get that? The troubles are there, but they don't destroy us. They do not destroy us. We are perplexed. Anybody not have a clue as to what's going on? We live in a crazy world. It's real crazy right now. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. Why? This is why we do not despair. This is why we do not give up hope. This is the promise that we have. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. You see, we are walking, living witnesses, testimonies to the power of God through Jesus Christ. That light that shines from us, sometimes it's dim and sometimes it's very bright, is the light of Christ, the love of God that shines through us. And then verses 16 through 18. And here's the promise of these words. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Every day, the Holy Spirit continues to reside in each one of us, no matter how we feel. The Holy Spirit is still there. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. We're only on this earth for a short period of time. Think about it. 70, 80, 90, 100 years. It's over before you know it. It's fast. Our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we do not look at the troubles we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. Translation, the eternal and not the temporal. The temporal things pass away. The eternal things are forever. What is eternal? God, His love for us. What is eternal? Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. All of us have that promise. So we want to think, for the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. It's those things that we cannot see that are real. So where do we go from this? What is the mindset that we are asked to have? It's the mindset of Christ, to be Christ-like. To be Christ-like each and every day. To keep our eyes on Jesus. It's not our will. It's His will. To keep our eyes on Jesus. To trust God. And to trust the power of the Holy Spirit. To build our houses on firm foundations. To serve others. Not just ourselves. To love God and our neighbor. And commit everything that we do to God and to honor Him in all that we do. So may we trust God. May we trust Him with our fears and with our discouragement. May we take on the yoke that Jesus offers us. May we be guided by Jesus and not ourselves. And may we allow the Holy Spirit to comfort us and to give us daily counsel. You see, we're victors, not victims. We're overcomers. We're not slaves to fear and discouragement. And to all of that, we say what? Amen and thank God. I think the children may have something for us. And so, fasten your seatbelts. And get ready. I don't know what's coming. So I'm going to step to the side.